You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode number 70, a very controversial episode.
So, have you tried Twitter's new app?
Mm-mm.
Vine.
I want to. I might download it right now as we're talking.
It's like the age of the standalone apps has arrived. So Twitter bought this company, Vine, like a while ago, and they have finally released it as their own. Basically, it's a, I'm going to call it a video sharing app, but there's a ton of caveats behind there. So what did it, you share videos, obviously, and you can share them to Twitter, Facebook, or on your Vine feed itself. Think of it like Instagram, in the sense that it's owned by Facebook. You have your Instagram feed, but then you can share it to other social networks. Make sense?
Yes.
So this is that way with video. And what you can do is record 6 seconds of video and share it, or at most 6 seconds. And it's similar to
Snapchat? Poke?
Yeah, Snapchat, Poke, in a sense where you literally hold down the button, and it'll start recording, and there's like a little bar that fills up. And then if you let go, you can stop, and so then you could record another piece. So it doesn't have to be a continuous 6 seconds. But once you record it, there's no editing. There's no re-swapping out the parts. So it's kind of like, don't mess up, otherwise that moment's gone. And
interesting.
Yeah, so once you do it, you share it, and it shows. And then you can, it'll show up on the website and, like I said, in your feed. And it looks cool. You know, when you start scrolling through, there's, it'll play the videos at the right time. And if it's when it's embedded on the website, it will actually default to muting out the video. So it's more like an animated GIF, which web users, will appreciate. But it looks cool. But there's a couple issues with it, though.
Yeah.
For example, I have not downloaded it. But even if I did, you probably would have trouble finding me.
Why?
Because you can't find your Facebook friends on
what?
It anymore. Yeah, Facebook cut off access to you to find your friends.
Dear. Of course. Thanks, Facebook, for playing nice.
Well, it was funny. They cut it off, and people were just like, oh, man, Facebook's being a bully. Which
yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what it comes off as. And so Facebook had to come out, and we're like, well, no. Let's just be a little bit more clear about what our policy is. The thing is, like, we will allow people to find their friends, but you have to, or we will block it under two circumstances. The first one is if it is not, if you're not like reciprocating your sharing. Like for example, we'll give you your friends, but you gotta be sharing activity back to Facebook.
Right.
Essentially.
Which is the problem that they had with that Apple Ping didn't want to give any data back to Facebook. Facebook goes, what the heck? Go get rid of yourselves, man.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a bargaining chip. And the other one is if you're a competitor, we're not going to share with you either.
Right, yeah. You know, it's reasonable, I guess.
Yeah, so
it's hard to argue that Twitter isn't a direct competitor in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because apparently, I mean, like, sharing on Facebook is kind of like, there's a big button to do it. They're not trying to hide it. That's a part of the app.
Right.
And so Facebook was just like, yeah, we're not going to play nice with them.
Right.
Which is kind of not a surprise, given what Instagram was like, oh, we're not going to play nice with Twitter anymore.
Right.
We're going to make you click on it like old-fashioned link style.
Neither company right now are playing well with each other. They're on a, well, I would say they're on a crash course. The only thing that they're both doing right now that is okay is that they still allow for the API calls to push stuff from one service to the other. So you can post to Facebook and it'll push it to Twitter, or Twitter and push it to Facebook. And because of that, you can link the two accounts, and then it's okay that they're completely different in a lot of respects, because you can have different you know, different networks, but you know, it's it's pretty funny when they're like, "No, you can't do this."
Yeah,
you know, gatekeepers are they're very.
I love too how it's like, there's no talk, right? It's just like Twitter's like, yeah, we're just gonna do this, and we're not gonna tell Facebook. And we're just going to release it. And then Facebook's like, we're just going to cut off access. We're not going to tell you. Yeah, so you just get this error in the app.
Like, they just wake up one day and they're like, wait, what? Oh, geez. You know, both sides of them. They're like, yeah, they clearly are. That relationship's got to be fun when they have to talk to each other.
That totally means that, like, Facebook still they have, like, this, you know, like this red button somewhere where they're just like, okay, pull up Vine on the list. Yeah, denied. Okay, done.
Right. Yeah.
You know, well, it's like a line of code, and that's it.
It's probably like they have like literally a blacklist where they can put in any IP address, and once that IP address is on there, you can't access it anymore. Sorry, it's done. And Dunsies. They just put Twitter's they put Twitter onto that list, and like boom, it's gone. Oh, okay. <All right. laughs> I guess we can't access that anymore. Never mind. And yeah, which is interesting. I mean, the other part of this, which is, you know, important to remember, is that and it costs Facebook money to some degree to do this because it's like API calls to Google Maps.
Okay.
If you make enough calls, if it's a big enough service, it can actually increase the amount of servers they need, which is a capital investment.
Yeah, but we're talking about the Find Your Friends feature.
Well, yeah, but if it's a big enough service, then there needs to be a benefit for them. There
sure.
Needs to
okay. Be right. Right. Well, I understand. I am just,
you know, if you're a do nothing, do little, you know, website, they're not going to care about you. But I'm just saying that there's actually it's not just competition. It's Twitter can actually cost them money if it gets big enough.
Yeah, sure, maybe. They're like $1 billion service.
Yeah, well, okay.
Million-person service.
I know, but, you know.
Come on, some new app from Twitter that isn't even branded with Twitter?
It's probably, know. Yeah, I
they
guess.
They didn't even crazy. Notice. They didn't even notice. Not even a blip.
Yeah, probably. yeah, you know. Man, oh, jeez. I do like this advent of this, like, the video, the short video. I think that was something that Snapchat, like, I think that, you know, we were talking about Snapchat a while ago, but that whole idea of the quick video is pretty brilliant. You and I have been doing video text messages back and forth, and I want it to get integrated into iOS. I hope it does at some point. Probably won't be for another 7 years, because Apple moves kind of slow on those sort of things. Well, it'd either be like in the next 2 months. It's either like about to happen or it won't happen forever. But I think that...
All I want, here's all I want. It's not hard. Let me leave a message with FaceTime. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That would be very, very cool. I actually would... That's all I want. I think that would be awesome. And because that's exactly what it is. What was I going to say though? What do you feel about, how do you feel? Okay. So obviously I am a fan of the standalone app idea. I think I like the fact that Facebook breaks out their pictures and their pokes and their messages and all their different sub services. They have an app that's outside of the main app. And I'm an outspoken advocate for that. And do you think that there's a point where that gets a little crazy? And what is the point if you do? Or, I don't know, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. Because then you like look at like Google's app, right? Where there's like 20 apps embedded in that one app.
Right.
You know, and then they do have individual ones like Mail and YouTube. There's probably some others that I'm forgetting, but those are the ones I have.
Yeah.
And I get why they do it. Clearly the usage has to be higher.
Right.
And it allows them to, you know, they don't have to go through whole code. They can work on improving one part of their service without having to worry about breaking everything else.
Right.
Yeah. So I get that. I don't know. There's, like you were saying, there does come a point in time where you're like, okay, I have enough app icons. Don't make me make a choice. Right. I kind of like, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, give it to me. Like, I think we're Facebook. You can do photos inside of Facebook, and then they have an individual photo app, which
right.
I'm pretty sure has gone nowhere. And then I think that you can, I don't know if you can poke and do that stuff inside the Facebook app. I doubt it. But you know what I mean? So I guess it'd be cool if you had like a mothership app that had everything. And then yeah. I just watched Independence Day recently. So you have a mothership app that has all the different services in it. And yeah, it's big, I suppose, and getting the UI right is probably tricky. But then you do have all these other apps that kind of, you know, they'll do the one trick, you know, one thing really, really well, and they can iterate on those.
Right.
And then you have a choice, perhaps. I don't know. But I also, you read stories where, like, the average person downloads 10 apps. And,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, so what does that tell you? Two things, right? Either A, getting them to download an app is going to be super, super hard. So pack everything you can into that one app. Or
right.
B, they have a ton of room on their phone still for apps. So who cares?
Yeah.
You know, if they have two instead of one. So I think developers need to be really, really sensitive to that. And the best thing to do really is to do some testing. And, you know, test your theory. You know, I think if you can, the trick is the app has to run well. And I think, you know, part of the problem is they're, you know, that does get a little bloated perhaps. And they're like, okay, right. No, we don't want to do that. Or the UI just gets super confusing. You got to go through seven menus just to get to this one feature.
And it's funny. I mean, that's my biggest problem with Google Plus is it does so much that I feel like I don't use it for anything, because I really want, you know, it's like, you know what I would use Google, I would use like crazy if Google Plus had, if Google Plus had the Messenger, bless you, that is tethered to Gmail, if it were in Google Plus, I'd use it all the time. I'd open it all the time. If they would push notifications, if it basically was, if it had, you know, Facebook has the Facebook Messenger app built into Facebook, and then it has the independent Facebook Messenger app. If Google did that with Google Messenger, I would use it all the time, because I actually, that's one of them. That is my primary IM, if I, you know, instant messaging yeah. service, if I need it. And it doesn't exist in any of the apps that I've seen. Maybe I didn't actually realize they had it. I don't feel like I should admit this, but I didn't realize that they had a Gmail app for the iPhone.
It wasn't very good a while ago.
Oh, wasn't it? Okay. Maybe that's why I didn't care. And the built-in mail app on the iPhone works so well with Gmail that it hasn't been an issue, but maybe that feature's built into the Gmail app, and that's why it doesn't exist in the Google Plus app, although it exists in the Google Plus page and the Gmail page on the website, so why would it exist in both apps? I don't know, but I'll have to look into that.
We can do huddles, by the way, on our phones.
I know, which is very cool. And that's the other thing. It's like you can do all the other messaging formats, you know, all the other communication things that Google does for the website, you can do in one of their apps. But I never, like, where'd the Google messaging go? Come on, guys.
Which, by the way, if I could figure out how to do the on-the-air broadcast via my phone,
yeah,
that'd be amazing, because then we could do this without our computers anymore.
Right, which would be very cool.
For on-the-road things.
Yeah, especially if I were in Cabo in April or something like that.
Exactly.
For example, I'm going to be in Cabo in April.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was not a hypothetical.
Yeah. So, just brace yourself for that.
I got to find someone to... Wait. Maybe I don't. Oh, okay.
Maybe not. Oh, okay.
Yeah, dude, you could be talking to me on your phone. I'll do the live, you know, my part from here.
Yeah.
And well, I could just, of course.
Dude, it's not going to happen.
I don't know if I want to pull you away from... What are you doing there?
I'm just hanging out for a weekend, or, you know, 4 days. on a little bit of vacation. I'm not going to do the podcast that weekend, I should say. Okay. it was a hypothetical. We could, maybe, but it's, yeah. This is obviously the first time this is coming up between the furlough bros, everybody. You are in on the news. This is exciting.
Breaking. This is kind of drama. This is dramatic. Do you think that'll help us?
This is part of the soap opera.
Are you going with anybody?
So, okay, I am going with three other people. One of them is our cousin, Timmy, and then two other people that you don't know that I'm not going to talk about on the show.
That's fine.
But I can tell you later. Sorry, everybody. Yeah. You don't get to. They haven't signed up to be part of this show yet.
I got to find someone to work with then. All right.
I know. Cool. So, yeah, anyways. Yeah, come on, Google. Get your stuff together. That's the point.
Yeah.